Good evening. Thank you for coming. And we do say amen to what has been prayed, that God will have his way in this meeting tonight. And we are thinking, we have been praying and are thinking of you who have not trusted Christ as Savior. You're very much on our minds and in our hearts, and it is our prayer that tonight you will trust Christ. John's Gospel, chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do the miracles, these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. How many times have many of us heard and even read this portion of Scripture? A few years back, I was listening to Dr. Bruce Dunn, an outstanding Bible teacher who is now in the presence of the Lord. And he was speaking from this portion. I thought to myself, oh yes, he's going to speak about Nicodemus and you must be born again. But in that simple and yet solemn message, Dr. Bruce Dunn caused me to think again over some very logical and sensible questions. I mention his name because I jotted down those questions, a simple outline. I have put my own meat on the bones, if you please. But I mention his name because I did jot down his questions, and I thank God for that man's ministry. The Lord Jesus said to a ruler of the Jews, Nicodemus by name, ye must be born again. Now I realize, as you do, that this phrase has been worn down, we mentioned, in the Sunday school class, I believe it was, that words are like coins. Just as a coin is in usage for an extended period of time, that the inscription, that the image will wear down and become almost unintelligible. Even so, words wear down. And the original meanings of words are lost, and sometimes words will change their meaning altogether. And how many times have we heard this expression, born again? And how many times have we heard it used wrongly? Because I remember hearing some politicians use that word, not giving to the meaning, or at least as I listened to what they had to say, it was certainly my impression that they were not putting the meaning to the usage of that expression as did the Lord Jesus in this portion of Scripture. And so many have used that term to simply speak of or to indicate a turning over of a new leaf, in the sense of making a resolution and making a new start, born again. Well, that term has more in it than simply turning over a new leaf or making a resolution to start again. We want to think about this statement that the Lord Jesus put to this ruler of the Jews, Nicodemus. And we trust, as we do so, that those in this meeting, younger and older, who have not been born again, will be born again tonight. We read of Nicodemus three times in the Word of God, here in John chapter 3, again in John chapter 7, and then again in John chapter 20. Nicodemus was born again. And this is brought out in that last chapter, or next to the last chapter of John, John chapter 20. I believe the evidence reveals that Nicodemus was born again. Because when it came to the burial of the body of Jesus Christ, God saw to it that it was not one of the regular disciples. I can't think of a better term to use. God saw to it that it was not just anyone who had charge of the burial of the body of the Lord Jesus. God used two of the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders of Israel. You might say, so what? Keep in mind, it was Passover time. And for any Jew to touch a dead body meant that they became ceremonially unclean. So far as the Passover celebration, they could not participate in the Passover celebration. That's the reason the Jews would not go into the praetorium, into Pilate's judgment hall, at the time they were condemning Christ. Pilate had to come out. The Jews would not go in, lest they become ceremonially unclean. And so, thank God, Nicodemus was born again, and he, along with Joseph of Arimathea, took a stand. And they had charge of the burial of the body of the Lord Jesus. That was in fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 53, verse 9. And I'm quoting the Darby translation now. And men appointed his grave with the wicked, but was with the rich in his death. So Nicodemus was born again. My friend, young and older, you cannot go to heaven unless you're born again. In the Old West, some years ago, an evangelist with the Sunday School Union was holding services in a little schoolhouse out on the prairie. One night, a cowboy from the line camp rode by. He saw the lights. He stopped and went into the service. He sat on the back row. The evangelist was just finishing his message, and he closed by asking, "Everyone here who wants to go to heaven, raise your hand." And all the hands went up, all except that of the cowboy. "My friend," said the preacher, "don't you want to go to heaven?" "Nope," the cowboy replied. "I'm quite satisfied where I am." I'm quoting his words. "I don't hanker to move, not even to heaven." "Everybody else here wants to go to heaven, and you look like a sensible young man." The cowboy said, "Preacher, you're wrong." And I'm quoting him one again now, using this English. "There ain't none of these folks who wants to go to heaven. They just did a little polite lying to make you feel good. But they do not really want to go to heaven any more than I do." It was the preacher's turn to grin. And he said, "You're going to have a hard time proving that." "Nope, not at all," said the cowhand. I can prove it in a minute. The preacher said, you come ahead and do it. The cowboy settled his hat on the back of his head. He stood to his feet, and he slouched down the aisle. He stood facing the crowd, and they sized him up as a tough, carefree, hard-bitten specimen of his kind. Then a thick silence went over the crowd as he drew a Colt 45 pistol in each hand and quietly said, anybody really wanting to go to heaven, just stand up, one at a time. Well, we've heard similar stories, haven't we? And I suppose that cowboy thought that he had proved to these people that they really didn't want to go to heaven after all. But he really didn't prove that. All he proved is that they didn't want to go to heaven right then. Listen, dear friends, I have been with a number of people when they have taken their last breath. And I think of a number of them. I wasn't with my mother when she took her last breath, but I remember what she said and what I've heard so many others say. I want to go on to heaven right now. I'm praying that the Lord will take me. And I have honored prayer requests. I've done it very seldom, but I have honored prayer requests from those Christians who wanted to go home and who have asked me, please pray that the Lord will take me. Of course, Christians love life, as most people do. And really, in the final analysis, we have more to live for. Life has far more meaning to us than to those who are unsaved. I suppose it's the unknown that causes us to say, well, we don't want to go right now. We do want to go, but we don't want to go right now. I suppose it is the unknown. We think of our families. We don't want to leave our loved ones, or maybe it's because we don't want to go until we know all the family is saved. But believers do want to go to heaven. And as we were reminded this afternoon, we have a living hope. We know we're going, whether by way of death or by the rapture. We know, because the Word of God gives to us this assurance. The Word says, if you have Christ, you have life. And the Lord Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. But we Christians love life. And I repeat, we have more to really live for in this life than anyone else. Life has far more meaning to us than those who are not saved. We who are saved are in communion. We're in fellowship with Almighty God. We have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within us to empower us to do the will of God. And when our days are finished, we will be going to heaven. I said to my wife just a couple of days ago, as we were alone and talking over some things and talking about different family members who've gone, and my, we've been here on this island a little over a week and we've been to 3 funerals. And I said to Louise, and some people might not understand this, I think some older ones can, but I said, well, Louise, we get to that point where we are thinking more and more of the other end. And I said, I think I'm beginning to understand, just in a little way, what it means when we get to that point where we say, well, it's time to go. It's time for me to go home.
I'm ready to go.
I think I'm beginning to really understand that. I'm saved, have been for over 39 years. But I say I think I'm beginning to understand in a little measure, after being with so many family members who've gone and preaching their funerals and conducting so many, many funerals in my Christian experience, I'm beginning to understand in a little way what it means to be getting to that point where, you know, well, time is up. I mean, your work is done here. It's time to go home. Now, the Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Now, let us entertain a few questions, because I believe any serious thinking person considering these verses that we have read would come up with some very sensible, some logical questions. If the Lord Jesus says that no one can see the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it, no one can see it apart from the new birth, then I had better give attention to what this means. What is the new birth? And here again, you would get all sorts of answers from different parts of the world. I want you to turn back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, please. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Now, some people would use these verses to back up their erroneous teaching that a person, after being saved, can be lost again. But I want you to notice what the Scripture says concerning this man, this earthly house. The spirit left, but the house was empty. It was cleaned and garnished. Now, that speaks of reformation. But the new birth is not reformation. You can clean and garnish your house. And maybe you are one who makes resolutions New Year's Eve only to break them New Year's Day. But the new birth is not reformation. That house was empty, though the Spirit had left. Now, the new birth is the creative act of God in making you a new creation. Think of God creating the earth, speaking the world into existence. God created simply by speaking the word. And consider God's creation. We were thinking this morning in the Sunday school class something about the handiwork of God. My friend, listen carefully. Boys and girls, younger ones, older ones, listen carefully. Nothing moves from a lower kingdom into a higher kingdom apart from the higher kingdom taking the initiative to receive or to take in the lower kingdom. The mineral kingdom is taken in by the vegetable kingdom. And there is that initiative, if I can put it that way, on the part of the vegetable kingdom to take in the necessary minerals and nutrients. There has to be that action on the part of the higher kingdom. The vegetable kingdom is taken in by the animal kingdom. And here again, there has to be that initiative on the part of the animal kingdom. Then the animal kingdom is taken into man's kingdom. And again, there is that initiative on the part of the higher kingdom to take in the lower kingdom. Now we come to the kingdom of man who wants to go into the kingdom of God. There has to be that initiative on the part of the higher kingdom. And salvation is not reformation. Reformation is a person seeking to do something to himself, for himself, to make himself fit for God. Salvation is God reaching down, taking the initiative to do something for man, whereby he can enter into the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. Peter speaks about being born again, not with corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. The new birth is not reformation, but rather it is regeneration. It's being made over anew. And I might be speaking to some in this audience tonight who have cleaned and garnished the earthly house. And you have made your resolutions. You determined to do certain things. You are going to be a changed individual. But before long, you were right back into the old rut. No change. Because you did not have Almighty God dwelling in your house. And the new birth is regeneration. When the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and brings conviction upon you. And when you realize your need of Christ and you call upon Him to be your Savior. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The new birth is regeneration, being made over anew, being born from above. Well, who needs the new birth? Oh, you say, well, everyone needs the new birth. Well, you're right. I want you to note John chapter 2 and verse 24. John chapter 2 and verse 24. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men. Would you permit me to point out that word commit? That's not really what I want to dwell upon, but while we're looking at it, I want you to look at it. Commit. Because in thinking about calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ, in thinking about coming to Christ, as you often hear it said, and as you often hear it sung, come to Christ, you might ask, well, how do I come to Christ? How do I call on the Lord? How do I believe on Christ? And believing on Christ is far more than simply giving mental assent to an historical Jesus. That word commit is the same word as believeth in John 3:16.
It's the same word. To believe on Christ, as the Lord Jesus speaks of it, and as the Word of God speaks of it, is more than simply believing about Jesus Christ. It means committing yourself to Him. Committing yourself to Him. Sometimes you are in the States or maybe in another country and you want to go up in a high-rise building maybe. There's the elevator or the escalator or whatever it might be. You believe that this elevator or escalator will take you up. You believe that. You don't have any problem with that. But you have to get on it. You have to commit yourself to it. And believing on Christ means you commit yourself to Christ. You call upon Him, but you commit yourself to Him. But look at verse 24. But Jesus did not commit Himself unto them, because He knew all men. Jesus knew what was in man. He said, as it is recorded in Matthew chapter 12 and 34, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And the Lord is referring to the human nature. A potential for evil is there. Listen very carefully to me. Everyone who has not called upon Christ to be saved. Everyone who has not made that commitment to Christ is unregenerated. Is unregenerated. You have eternal existence, but you don't have eternal life. There is a difference. I know I've touched upon this before. When God made man out of the dust of the ground and then breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, man became a living soul. God communicated something to his creature that gave to his creature eternal existence. Being made in the image and after the likeness of God, God communicated something of himself to his creature that gave him eternal existence. But when his creature disobeyed him and plunged himself and all of his posterity into sin and under its consequences, he became separated from God, but still in that eternal existence. And this is the reason we preach faithfully from the Word of God. You must be born again. You have eternal existence. You're going to live on forever. But unless you receive Christ, unless you are born again, you're not going to be in God's kingdom. My friend, this is the Word of God we're facing. This is truth. You're going to be away from the presence of God forever unless you're born again. With eternal existence, but not eternal life. Life begins when Jesus comes in. He that hath the Son hath life. So apart from Christ, everyone is unregenerated. Now that is not to say that everyone who is unsaved is a degenerate. To say that a person is unregenerated indicates the potential is there for evil of the worst kind. But that doesn't mean that you are as bad as you could be in your unsaved condition. You're not a degenerate. Some people are. But apart from Christ, you're unregenerated. And you need to be born again. Who needs the new birth? Now, note now, the Lord Jesus is talking to a Jewish ruler, a very religious man, one who knew the Old Testament scriptures. I want you to notice the scriptures now, because Nicodemus said, no man can do the things that thou doest except God be with him. Here is a man who believes in God. But the Lord Jesus said you need to be born again. You mean a person who believes in God needs to be born again? Some of you might remember that a well-known Baptist preacher from Oklahoma, whom I met on one occasion, had some good times with him, made a statement that the media picked up on, something to the effect that Jewish people are going to hell. Well, as you know, the news media is just waiting for something like that. And so we had to later give an explanation, but, you know, oftentimes people take things wrongly and the damage was done by the way the media used it. But some of the media came to Adrian Rogers, an outstanding preacher. Adrian Rogers from Memphis, Tennessee. And he asked, whoever it was, asked Adrian Rogers, do you believe Jews who don't believe in Jesus are going to hell? You know what his answer was? He said, if my children don't believe in Jesus Christ, they're going to hell. I thought that's the way to answer. They didn't do anything with that. Here is a man who believed in God. But believing in God is not enough. Now just turn to the right, to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20, verse 21. Acts chapter 20, verse 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no doubt about it. No one gets into heaven. No one gets into the presence of Almighty God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, either he is truth or he's a maniac who needs to be born again. People who believe in God need to be born again. But not only so, Nicodemus said, we know that you have come from God. Who needs to be born again? Even people who have no doubt whatsoever that Jesus came from heaven and came from God. Those people need to be born again. Not only so, but people who believe that Jesus works the miraculous need to be born again. Nicodemus said, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God because no one can do the things that you do except God be with you. He still needed to be born again. So you might have all of these good thoughts about God and even about Christ. But you need to be born again. People who believe that God was with Christ in every way need to be born again. So who needs the new birth? Everyone. Ecclesiastes 7:20, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. You need to be born again. Why do you need the new birth? Why do you need the new? Because you cannot go to heaven the way you are. First of all, your body is wrong. Your body is wrong. Oh, my, my. Some of us were talking today, and I didn't say it to them, but I was thinking about those deadly bee stings. Those deadly bee stings, baldness, bifocals, bridges, batteries, bulges, bunions, body aches, bad memory, yes, blisters. Boy, we're getting older. Almighty God designed you and me to live on this earth. We were impressing upon the children this morning that where there is design, there must be a designer. And where there is a designer, there must be personality. And where there is personality, there must be a person. And this supreme intelligence designed the human body for the physical conditions of planet Earth. Planet Earth is a perfect environment for our bodies. Just as God created fish to live in the water, birds to fly in the air, worms to live in the soil, man was made to live on the earth. And our bodies would, as they are, would be useless anywhere else in God's universe. Suppose you desired to go to the neighboring planet Mercury. You could not take your body there in its present condition because your body is composed largely of fluids, right at about 65% fluids. And most fluids boil around the temperature of 212 degrees Fahrenheit. And since Mercury has a temperature of 750 degrees. What would happen to your body if you went to Mercury? If you got there a few minutes before 9 in the morning, by 9 p.m., a pink stream would be coming out of your nose, your mouth, your ears, your eye sockets, because your blood would be boiling. And by noon, they would bury you under a stone on which they would engrave the appropriate text, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You'd be well done or you'd be fried to a crisp. Well, suppose you decided to go to the planet Neptune with a temperature of about 400 degrees below zero. In 20 minutes, you would be a solid block of ice, and not even the heat of Mercury would thaw you out. No, we were made to live on this earth. And if you expect to go to heaven, you're going to have to be born again. You're going to have to be changed. You're going to have to experience the transformation that only the gospel message can bring by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Your house will become the temple of God. You will be changed spiritually. God will begin working in you morally, and you will have the blessed hope of a bodily change yet to come, to live in heaven. You must be born again because your body is wrong. You must be born again because your nature is wrong. Your nature is wrong. A dog can't live like a bird. A canary can't hunt lions. And in your unsaved condition, you're altogether wrong for God's kingdom. Some years ago, I had a book. I think I loaned it out and never saw it again. Written by C.S. Lewis. Outstanding writer. The title of the book was The Great Divorce. If you ever run across two of them, I can't find a copy. If you ever run across two of them, get both of them, one for me. It's just a little booklet. I'll pay you. The Great Divorce. He writes about people, unsaved people in hell, taking an excursion to heaven. And how miserable they are on that excursion. Because heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And unless you are changed by the power of God, you cannot live in God's presence. You cannot live in heaven. Your body is wrong. Your nature is wrong. My, my, someone see people come into a meeting like this and squirm the whole time. They can't wait. Oh, my, the preacher went over, as he's doing right now, a couple of minutes. Can't wait to get out. Let me out of here. And yet we Christians are looking forward to this forever and ever. You need to be changed if you haven't trusted Christ. You need to be born again because your thoughts are wrong. Your thoughts are wrong. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, God said, My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. You must be born again. And it is when we are born again that we receive the mind of Christ, the very nature of God, Peter tells us. How do you get the new birth? By calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Our brother Wayne Perry said it so simple. All you have to do is call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's true, because He has paid an infinite price for us to be saved. It cost Him everything. It costs us nothing to become a Christian. Of course, it costs something to be a Christian. But you can be saved simply by calling on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God, I want to be saved. Lord Jesus, come into my heart, my life. I can't go on like this. And listen. Younger person, older person, just rid your mind right now of any thoughts about any other or any Christian who is hindering you. You might be thinking, okay, preacher, tell me about Christians, but I see some people on this island who profess to be Christians. I don't want that. Don't let such people take you to hell. Don't think about anybody else right now. The Lord is saying to you, you need to be born again. You receive Christ, and then with the help of God, you show these hypocrites how a Christian ought to live. How do you get the new birth? Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. One last question as we close. Are you born again? Are you born again? If not, friend, call upon Christ right now as we sing number 118. I'm going to ask the musicians if they would come back. I know this song, at least I know the tune that I've been singing over the years. I presume it's the same tune that you use here, but I want to be sure. 118. A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The master made answer in words true and plain. You must be born again. My friend, young person, older person, call upon Christ to be your Savior. This office over here is going to be open. I know Brother Donald, some of us might be up there waiting to be of any help to you. You don't have to go there. You can receive Christ where you are. Or maybe you would desire to speak to someone else. You feel that someone else can help you further. But you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again tonight. Number 118, shall we stand as we sing? Let's sing the first, third, and fourth stanzas. 1, 3, and 4.